Welcome, everybody. So I was on a call earlier this week with a guy, a family, husband and wife have a gym, and they were talking about Gym Hacking University, John, the product that we've been putting out to kind of help gym owners. And one of the things that, as I was feeling them out as far as like what their business is and how it's been going and what some of their headaches are, one of the things that came up was, well, it's just, you know, it really hurts when people cancel their membership, right? And I said, yeah,
sure.
Absolutely. Right. That sucks. That's if you put everything into it, you do everything you can to make sure we build value into that product and you get people and you try to get them results. And what I came to the realization was that the only thing that you can do when you buy a membership, your only option is to cancel it. So once you've handed somebody into this catch-all membership that oftentimes our group fitness model is, the only thing they can ever do, unless we start getting onto a resell system or some sort of opportunities to make some internal plays or specialty programs or any number of things that you got to do to be, to break that conventional catch-all group fitness model.
Yeah.
All you're doing is headed them straight for that disappointment.
Because there's nothing else to do. It's like, well, yeah, once I can't afford, you know, if I can't afford it, I had a change, job change. I don't use the membership as much as I thought I was going to use it for. Right. There's tons of excuses of all of a sudden you're just like, well, I guess this just means that I can't do this anymore. And, you know, that reminds me, we've now talked to several people about this idea, and it comes back to where they have this single membership, like we're talking about, like the single subscription service that just is, and it's just like forever. And we joke around about this all the time, which is the idea of like, could you imagine if you were being honest with somebody when they were walking in for the very first time and it was going to be, hey, do you want to join for the rest of your life?
Yeah, it's nobody like, wants that.
What? No.
Nobody
I don't
wants
want to
that.
Do that.
And CrossFit, group fitness, whatever it is that a lot of people are doing, that is what we're selling people. We don't even know it. We don't think that that's the way we're presenting it, but that's absolutely how they're interpreting it. Everybody who goes to a catch-all 24-hour fitness place, too, for the cheap membership, what's their biggest complaint? Well, gee, like they hate it when you have to commit for 12 months, right?
Right.
They hate it. They're like, well, geez, even if I don't go, I have to still be paying. And what they don't understand is that, like, well, that's assuming you stop going and stop getting results and just are on the hook sinking money into something you're not using. Imagine now how that works in your group fitness model. So when do I get my results or how do I check? What else can I do? It's like, no, you come into our gym and you sign your name here. And yeah, you can cancel anytime, but fitness wise for your results and what you want to do, all we're going to do is stuff you into this shit with everybody else. And that's it. And then you got to just be, and now there is a benefit because you're taking someone from being maybe inactive to being active. That can get them results kind of, but people want results. They want an experience. They want goals. They want all this stuff. They just, the last thing in the world that they want to do, that they want is to just become an exerciser that has this endless relationship with you.
Yeah.
And the endless relationship, and that's maybe what we'll title this episode, is End the Endless Relationship.
Yeah.
But this endless relationship hamstrings you and them. It sets them on a path for getting tired of the one thing that you do and not appreciating all the extra shit you work into your base offering, right? You're just stuffing more things into there to hope to keep people going. If they get tired of that or they don't get results because they're not able to double down and reinvest in it, they're eventually going to walk away anyways. And you never took the opportunity to try to resell them on anything or give them something that they wanted.
Well, you keep talking, you keep referencing the idea of like the group model.
Yeah.
Right. And the group model, right, was created because someone was like, we could do work with one person for an hour or we could work with 20 for the hour.
Yeah.
And it's like we're being paid 20 times than what we were being paid before. There's no way. It's impossible to assume. Impossible to assume that somebody created the group model to help people get better results.
No, not at all.
Impossible. So if you're someone – now, is there a lot of positives that can come from the group model? Totally. But if you're talking about like results and like being able to have like solid – before and after pictures and have people like change their life. Now, community can change people's lives, no doubt. But understand what this tool is. This is a little bit like saying, like, if you're a hammer, everything's a nail. This is the opposite of that. This is like you're assuming, oh, because I have this hammer, this is the best tool for to screw something in. Like I need to screw this in. Like there are certain tools that are going to be able to be done in a better way and used in a better way.
Yeah.
And there's no sense in trying to hammer a nail with a screwdriver. And well, that's where we're starting to see that.
And that's the truth, is that group fitness is an exceptional tool. I think it's also really, really good for your retention. I think it's really good for retaining people because it gets them really invested in a community. I think every program that you do, you should still try, even if you have people into semi-privates and in one-on-one, I think you should always try to nudge them one way or another into participating in a group class every now and again with the rest of the community. Some people want that stuff, some people don't, but that stuff, that's contagious. And that makes a day and a training experience much more fulfilling for some people.
Sure.
Some people really want that. And some people, the last thing they want to do is be tired and out of breath and be like maybe not at their best and have to
around
be
other people
in front of other people. People don't want that. And that's why semi-privates and stuff, which we'll do a whole episode on that stuff later, why semi-privates and setting up, they don't have to be the only way you do business, but it's a way for you to get new people who don't give a shit about going in and standing in a room full of people they don't know and exercising because one person in front with a t-shirt told them to. They don't care. They want, I want my results, and they can come to you with a group of friends and they could do like, that works really, really well with semi-privates. And we'll do a hyper-focused episode on that at some point, why that matters and how you can integrate it. But for this piece, I think group fitness is a really good tool, but it's not always the best tool for the job. And if it's your only tool, what are we even talking about? If it's your only tool, you already know the problem. What you don't know is the solution. And so people who only have that model dwell in that problem and they just go, shit, is this it? And they're missing the solution, by which is you need to find a new set of tools. You need to use some new tools to offer these people.
And that's, and the issue is that the solution that the entire market, like every single person or every program that you and I, for the most part, every program that we've ran into, is that everyone's solution is just more.
Yeah.
Give it more.
I need more people.
Yeah. More people. I need to plug more people into this model. And it's like, ooh, this is where you and I have been saying, stop. Come on. It's the literal definition of insanity.
Yeah.
You have to recognize that if you don't have as much money or if you don't have as many members as you wish you did, you have to stop assuming that it's not because you don't have enough people.
Yeah. Yeah.
It has to be, you have to look inwards even for just a moment and say, is this because I don't have the proper things in place to allow us to make the money that we want to make?
Yeah,
and only then when your structures are there and you have the proper framework and structure that's there to then be built on, that then it makes sense to start bringing in a bunch of leads and paying for ads and doing all the other bullshit that people are putting way, like the cart goes way in front of the horse on this one.
Well, I think a lot of people chase the ads and things like that because they don't know anything about it. So if you're a gym owner, you go, oh, it's just going to get me leads. Great. I really don't want to be on the conversation on the phone trying to sell these people, but whatever. Some of them commit, we're good. So they just throw bad money at that problem. But we've talked about this before, John, where when we get involved sometimes in businesses, we start looking at it. And before we started making our own decisions and having our own principles on how we go about it, we were kind of doing what people thought they wanted. And we stopped doing that when we saw that it didn't work and that what they really need is someone to tell them what's right. Like, no, let me point you in the right direction. But every time that happened, what was it always about? It was they didn't have the right, aside from other than the back end stuff, of course, sometimes they need staffing and organization or whatever.
Sure.
But in general, what we're talking about for this episode is they don't have products.
Yeah.
And that can be physical products. It can be options. It can be specialty program. It can be just a different track. How many paths? Someone walks into your gym and you funnel every person, regardless of need, want, and who they are, into this thing that's just the best fucking thing that you can do because you haven't tried to do anything better.
Yeah.
And you haven't tried to do anything different. Okay, well, what else do you do? What else could you do? What could you do for them that would get them the results that they want? Think about that. Do that exercise. How would you structure it? How long should it be? There's a piece that, and I'm going to probably miss some of it here, but there's a piece that Alex Hormozi had posted, or it's in his book, $100 Million Offers, right?
Yeah.
About when trying to come up with products and the way he compares like group fitness classes or regular fitness classes or coaching to liposuction, right?
Yeah. And
the value, the perceived value is on liposuction, Jesus, $30,000. Whereas fitness, though, it's like, what is it, $130 a month? You'd think it'd be a no-brainer until you start looking at, as a gym owner, you need to understand that what you offer is not the only thing people are thinking of. And the factors that he rolls out into this is things like, all right, well, how much work does a person have to do themselves? How much exertion and effort do they have to do to get their results? What is the perceived likelihood that they're going to get these results? What is the, what was the, what is the time frame? How long does it take? What is, and so all of those, am I missing? I'm sure I'm missing others, but in the equation, but either way, that's a good start, right?
Yeah,
and the reason people spend $20,000 on liposuction because by Sunday, it's a guarantee they're going to have that out of them, right?
Yeah,
2 days, no work, no nothing, piece of cake.
In the same chapter, he does an example that I love even more, which is helping you with anxiety. Any challenges between doing yoga and then taking Xanax?
Yeah.
Or and it was like, there's a reason why. No.
Yeah.
There's a reason why the pharmaceutical industry is a multi-billion dollar industry because it works.
Yes. You want to work on yourself? You want to process all your trauma? Do you want to get all your day-to-day bullshit sorted out? You want to work on
years of your life?
Every fucked up relationship you've got going in your life. You want to sort get all this stuff above water? Or
no.
Boy, do I got a pill for you. And you, and by the way, this is while we don't want to push people to the unethical side of that equation, when they're coming up with products that have actual value to a client, I'll say this, your group classes have almost no perceived value to someone when they walk in their door, except for they get to become an exerciser for how long? Probably forever. I hope you like it.
Yeah, no, and this was something I wanted to touch on. So we were making the mistake of a mentor that helps us with a lot of things in our business, and I had the opportunity to go out to a group thing last month, and work one on one with them, and it was great. But one of the things that she has always talked to us about is this concept of people are going to, they first have to come for something tangible.
Yep.
So this needs to be something that is measurable and is achievable and is something as though that they can hold in their hand. And so this is very easy to be able to translate that into fitness is going to be weight loss, right? It's going to be, it's going to be like fat loss or pounds lost or whatever those things are.
With a time frame.
Right. Very important. Now she doesn't touch on that. That's definitely us taking and mixing those pieces in, which are, is like vital. But she goes, they come for that tangible piece. She calls it crunchy, something that's crunchy or tangible that you can hold. Mm-hmm. But they don't stay for that. Right?
Correct.
They stay.
Correct. Yeah.
Because of all of the intangible things that you do in your business or what you provide, because it's the intangible that's that warm, fuzzy community legacy building, I care about people bullshit that actually doesn't pay the bills.
Yeah.
But that's why people stay. They stay for that piece.
I just had this epiphany, John. We as gym owners, I guess not anymore, but what gym owners often do, they get that equation inverted. And that's what happens. We try to sell. Guys, we're good. We're better than the other people. You're not going to get hurt. I work extra hard at this and this and that. And like, we have a great community and we have this and this. And like that's, yes, that is what will keep them there.
It's important.
That is not getting anybody to show up. Nobody gives a fuck. By the way, your community, very often to someone who isn't a member of your gym, nobody wants to join another family. Dude, it's weird.
And you kind of look weird. Like everything's weird.
So it makes it exclusive. So what you need to do is quit flipping this thing, right? We're burying the lead.
Exactly.
Saying, no, come get the results. And yes, in the end, will turn you into someone who is a perpetual exerciser, who loves the community and loves this stuff. But I need to deliver some goddamn results, because people do not sit at home and go, man, I'm ready to get off the couch. I want this. I want that. I sure hope I can stand in front of a bunch of fit people who know what's going on, and I have to just deal with that forever in hopes of getting these results that they barely even talk about. And there's no deadline for them to deliver this thing. And if I don't get my results in 3 months, 4 months, 5 months, 6 months, it's just what, like, my fault for not working hard enough. There's no extra, there's like, what else can I do? And one of the things when designing products that you need to be doing is start looking at, what are these people's limiting beliefs? What makes them think that they can't get these things accomplished in this amount of time? And then that's how you build your product and your offer in a way that really works. So it's like, okay, well, geez, I have a real hard time with kitchen stuff. Okay, well, what if you find ways, and don't give this away, but every little thing that is a barrier to somebody doing something, that's what you need to be addressing when you're starting to think of new products, or how to present your stuff, or how to market yourself, or just how to communicate with potential clients.
And you touched on it, and we will have to dive into this, Tyler, more, and it's not now, but this is how you actually build a a real live high quality program that it delivers results, that is time bound. Like, there's a couple of principles, that is a framework that can be used and then duplicated for the rest of time
in a million different formats,
to then be able to just let people crush whatever goals they have, get massive results, and then they want to stay with you. And one of the more deadly things that you and I have had front row seats of watching a gym owner do was, we were working with someone once that they wanted to take every new concept, every new program that we wanted to roll out, everything that we wanted to say, hey, keep it in a box, keep it in 8 weeks, keep it in 12 weeks, be able to allow people to, like, really attract a certain type of person that's in your gym, or attract people from outside that would be attracted to this one particular nuance of fitness. And we can attract them in with this, let them experience a lot of success, and then we can roll them in to that larger, you know, group program community thing that you have.
Yeah.
And we were early in the game and we made a mistake, and we just let the gym owner say, no, I just want to include this in my already existing membership.
So we just, and you built, and I said,
okay,
yeah.
So okay, you, that's what you want to do.
And you throw it into the catch-all.
And holy shit.
Nobody cares.
And they don't care. It's not, it's, and the whole idea was, oh, I need to keep people in my gym. I'm losing members and I need to keep them there. Mm-hmm. So I need to make the membership more valuable. And it's like, now what we know, at least it's not even now what we know. We knew it wasn't the right choice then.
You and I had conversations at that time and said, man, there's a lot of product things out of sequence here. Like, we need products. We need products that make sense. We can't just keep filling this cup forever and ever and ever. This cup that nobody values anyways right now.
Right.
They're
already leaving.
It's, the problem is the cup. It's not what's in the cup. It's that whole thing. Yeah. You need more cups. You know, like it really, there was nothing more we could put in that cup that was going to work for people. They needed something else.
And the fact is, call it as we see it, now we have the spine and the balls to just be like, no.
Yeah.
Well, what we've got we're not doing that, because now
what we've got now is the proof. We've done enough with people where I was like, we know right now, or like, that doesn't make us look good, by the way, executing something for something that doesn't work.
Right.
So now we know, the proof's in the pudding. I won't go back to anything the other way anymore, because it literally doesn't help them. So when I tell a gym owner, no, this is wrong, I understand where you're coming, but we're not doing that. You can do whatever you want. Here's why we need to do this, 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 and this. And it's in their best interest. Like, the, you know what I mean? You just kind of have to trust us on that one.
And if you're here and you're with us for a reason, then buckle the fuck up and let's go.
Yeah.
Like, it is one of those things where it's, we need to keep working with our people to shift their mind, to shift that mindset.
Yeah.
And we got to get your minds right. It was a phrase that got said all the time when I played football in college, it was like, man, you better get your mind right.
Yeah.
Like it's about to get, we're about to get in the shit. So you better get your mind right. Cause whatever's about to happen is going to be horrible. And the fact is that we can invert that and say, you've got to get your mind right. Cause what's about to happen is about to blow your goddamn mind of what we're about to do. But you got to get your mind right. Cause we're going to help. This is, it all started with us talking about, you had the opportunity to talk to somebody about Jim Hacking University and bring people in and working with that husband and wife team. And it's, you need to get your mind right because what we're about to put in front of you is going to be something that you can scale quickly with what you already have existing in your own community. And you got to get your mind right because it's about to
Because
work.
if you because if you're in the way now, you're the problem, right?
Exactly.
And I want to zoom back or jump back to the product specifically too, John. So when we talk about one of the other things about when we were had clients wanting another catch-all product. Well, let me just get this to keep people in. I'll just give it to all my members. There was another mistake that was made in this thing was that it was not ever given an end date. Don't
For sure.
ever the, you already have your group
Forever.
membership thing already exists forever, which makes it like very hard to assign value, truthfully, to anybody who's going to listen, right? So that's already really, really difficult. And then now you're going to add something into it, which is an extra task, an extra set of tasks, extra set of costs. It is an added value if they perceive it as such, which they won't because they didn't have to fucking pay anything for it. So they're going to ignore it. But now you're on, most of them will ignore it. Some may really appreciate it, by the way, but most won't because that's not how human psychology works. And
Right.
so then what happens is you now have a bunch of new shit you got to do every week forever. You've now committed to this thing. And when you pull it away, the few people who valued it now are going to be not on your team anymore. And they're
And the
not
last
going to be
thing
stoked.
you do is give something away for free.
Exactly.
Because then if you wanted to scale it back, it's like, whoa, we used to get this thing. It's like, well, no, now this costs $400 a month. And it's like, wait, what?
So
Like,
let's do a tale of two programs. A tale of two programs. That's the exact same program, right? Let's do it this way. Let's pretend this is something just we'll know offhand because my wife's running it with some of her
oh,
other
yeah.
stuff. But let's imagine you did a 1 month program that is about really hitting it hard, but doing safe. It's high volume, tons and tons and tons of work, but maybe limiting impact, limiting a lot of the compound lifts. It's definitely not fluffy boot camp burpee festival bullshit, but some real deal, like hard driving results driven stuff for a month. It is a 1 month program to build you momentum starting in the month of January. Analytics before, analytics after, supplement, whatever, right? Just
Yeah,
build the value.
nutrition.
But that's a program, some nutrition guidance if your state allows it, like however you got to build it to make sure that what's the most you can do that when somebody, anybody comes in and goes, I'd like to get started. And like, we'll give them fucking results right now, right? But if I make that exact same program, I can do two things with it. One, I can make that be a part of my intake and it's free. That's your first month, right? That seems like a great added value, right? Anytime you
Sure.
come in, you get this, and we're going to give you the momentum and boom, 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 right? You can work it in that way, or you can charge $700 for that first month, 950 with supplements, by the way, if you want to, right? You could do that.
Absolutely.
Which one of those two programs is going to actually get the results? The one that people pay for, almost guarantee it. Which one will have a higher satisfaction rate? The one that people pay for. If you did two of those, one of those in one gym and one, and it was the same gym and you cloned it, I guarantee you the one that people paid money for would get higher attendance than the one that was free. It is a fucking guarantee. Nobody
Guaranteed.
shows up for extra shit. Nobody cares. You do extra shit, nobody cares. Nobody cares.
How many gym owners out there have been running some type of free class,
Yes.
some type of, hey, we just want to get together or hang out on the weekends or have a free thing? How many people actually show up to that?
Yeah, not on the bonus stuff, not on the extra stuff, very few. And
No.
if they don't, and if they do, by the way, it's such a narrow thing that it just doesn't really have value because you could put anything in that space and those same people would have it. It exists just like we tried this, I've seen it, have a yoga session. Well, guess what? If you sold yoga punch cards, you'd make some money off of it and people would show up. If you just offer
Exactly.
yoga at a fixed time on 1 day or 2 days a week, man, nobody's showing up. Even if it's free, nobody's showing up. So it's just you're better off learning to communicate the value, sell it, And then people will use the fucking thing that you're doing instead of constantly just like ignoring all this extra work and all this extra shit that you're making. Because it's very, very, very foolish to continue to live in that one in that catch-all paradigm. Quit stuffing things into this same box. It's full. Nobody cared 5 things ago that you stuffed in there. And now you're just doing more work that's just heading you straight to burnout for things that people don't value. If you made them pay for it, they would value it. And if, by the way, if you offered them to buy it and they didn't, you know what the beautiful thing is? If not enough people do it, you don't do it. Now you're not on the hook for this thing for perpetuity.
And people vote with their dollars.
Yeah.
100% of the time, and I've said it once and I'm going to continue to say it, is that people that pay attention, mm-hmm. right? And people that pay more pay the most attention.
Yes. If you had 2 programs simultaneously, one was $10,000 and one was $1,000, you'd get better results out of the $10,000 program. Guaranteed it. If all things were the exact same, I guarantee
it. In science.
Guarantee it. And one other thing, John, that I want to touch about, like I said, end the endless relationship for your memberships, right? But doesn't mean you have to stop doing memberships. It just means you need to break that thing that's in your brain that makes you think that that's all you do. Because I know I talk to these people all the time. I talk to lots of gym owners. We've done a lot of outreach for this project. And that is the constant thing where I have a lot of conversations in my business, in my other consulting stuff, where I feel like I'm talking to somebody and they've got like 3 months of thinking about the thing I told them before they like, okay, before they're ready to actually shift the paradigm. They're not a malleable brain yet. They're still very, very fixed in this thing. And so I feel like that very, very often. But one of the things about redesigning the way you think about this is that when somebody comes in and chooses something that's a month long, you know what's nice? One, they paid way more than they would for a month of catch-all bullshit that you're normally doing.
Right.
Two, you know what happens at the end of that month? They need something else. It's time to reinvest. What else do you want to do? Well, then you have to start thinking, what do they want? What can I do? What can I charge? How do I do this? And now you have a system of selling, reselling, added value. And every one of these things that I've described now in this last 30 seconds sits above and in addition to the current revenue you're making for your group fitness. All this is fucking bonus money. Every idea that you have along this line is free bonus money because you got to figure out how to staff it, promote it, and then that's it. That's it. And so you just create the thing, sell it, and it just moves. And now you're fine. Because it's each single thing that you're doing now isn't, how do I maintain this for the rest of our existence until it sinks us?
There's another psychological thing that you're doing by doing this, which is because you, like you're saying, it's gravy, which is great, but you also are giving your people the opportunity to reinvest in themselves and their fitness. So it's everybody gets really gung-ho. Come January, December, right? Going into January every year, because it's like, I'm going to reinvest in myself. New year, new me. I'm going to do this. It's all going to be all about me. Here I go. You can manipulate that. And I heard somebody joking about this the other day. It was the idea where, you know, Cyber Monday, it just takes the fun out of Black Friday.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're like, but you know who really figured it out? Was Jeff Bezos, because Amazon created Prime Day.
Yeah.
And what they did was they just took this concept of being like, hey, this is the day you buy, everybody. And they're like, oh shit, I need to buy stuff today. Because before it was, you just bought stuff on Black Friday and you were willing to stab somebody because there was one TV in the Walmart that was off.
For you, by the way, not as a gift, which is my favorite thing. Nobody does Black Friday shopping for anybody but themselves.
Absolutely not.
You know, I've been fighting nobody for a 70-inch TV. No. That ain't mine.
Yeah, no way.
I don't know if you froze, John, or is that me? Oh, John's back. All right, guys, we have some technical difficulties. I'm going to keep moving us forward. So, but one of the things about the two, though, John, is the opportunity to resell them is at the end of this thing now, what you have is a person who instead of you had to like, not dupe, but you had to get them in for this thing that's a loose membership only thing that's vague. It's hard for them to figure out what they get. You're making them conform to your system, Whereas if you design products, what you're doing is you're designing a product that conforms your system to what they actually want. And you can then deliver it in a way that gives them a lot of what they actually need. But by doing it this way, with a start date and with an end in mind, is that then every single new person that comes in off the street or that opts into one of your programs, who's an existing member, who's maybe stuck on the constant group fitness thing, as soon as they get into your thing now, what they become, that mindset clicks for them too, just like it did for you as a gym owner, is, ooh, I get to focus on this thing and I invest in this thing and I double down and I get results. And they realize that investment, whether it's financial or time or whatever, but that is a way for you to guarantee that they get results. It just works. But now they're of the mindset where they start looking for the next thing that you have to offer. And they want that. And that idea of somebody not just being passively subjected to, quote, being sold every year, because you don't want that. You don't want somebody who's like, just, oh, geez, they just keep trying to sell me shit. You want somebody who goes, oh, what's next? I just finished this thing. That's what we want. So we don't want to passively sell people or push them around or do any of that stuff. But we really, really want an end date to this thing so that they go, what is next? And what's next costs money. What's next has a start and an end. What's next has a fixed value. What's next, they know exactly what they're getting in return. They know how long it takes. They know what they can hope to put out for effort. They know what it is. And that is a level of specificity that group fitness can never get. And you as a gym owner can receive much, much, much more value financially in return when you're delivering a product of that value to the client.
There's one other benefit. And this comes from, we mentioned Hormozi earlier, and this comes directly from him as well. And so this is worth mentioning. When you have someone that psychologically comes to the game, they walk into your gym and they say, I'm ready to invest in myself and I'm ready to spend $600. When you want to move them, so $600 for 30 days or $600 for 6 weeks or whatever you want to break it into, when you move them into that group fitness, what you're already normally going to do, it's now less money.
Yeah.
The psychological move that is, which is when I'm about to now sell you into my group membership option, which already could be a little expensive compared to Planet Fitness, more than likely.
Yeah.
It's now, oh, well, I spent $100 a week when I got started with you all, and I can continue for just $49 a week.
Yeah.
You're like, yes, you know what? That's right. We're so into that. That's exactly what we're going to do. And it's like, it changes. Mm-hmm. It changes everything on top of everything we just talked about, but the psychological effects that this has, that it's, try it.
Yeah, try it. Guys, there's nothing manipulative about this. You need to think this through very thoroughly. And I highly recommend that you start looking into that stuff. Think of a product. Think of that value proposition that we talked about. What do they really want? What are they looking for? What do they think is in the way of them doing it? And what can you do to remove those limiting beliefs for them? Because that's a service. Every limiting belief that you cover is a service. And so that just builds value into this thing that you're offering. So you can design really sweet products that you can sell for money to these people. New membership product, new programs, whatever this is. But you got to end this endless relationship. No more catch-all group fitness being the only thing you do. It should be something you do until the day you decide not to. And you should decide not to only when you have so much other stuff that's so profitable and so much worth your time that it's just – like, I just don't want to do the other thing anymore. But there is a place for group fitness. I like it for me. I really do. It still is a piece where, like, every time you get into a space of people and you're training together, it's worth doing. It's a worthwhile awesome. Experience. Yeah. It is impactful. You know, the old days, training partners, like back in college football, like those weight room vibes, dude, nothing messes with that. And I think if you can deliver that type of thing in your group fitness, you have a thing that really is an added value to the big picture. But if that's the only thing you have is a great vibe and cool programming and a nice looking, you're completely missing the boat because nobody gives a shit. What they want is what they want in the time frame that they want it in. And they want all the bullshit that they think is in the way of them getting it out of the way. You put that to bed with them and you can deliver it in a short amount of time. You can charge a lot of damn money for that product. People will be very, very, very happy. And they'll be out of their own way.
Because your amazing community will have people stay with you for years. But what fucking good is it if the last time they paid you was 3 years ago?
Yeah. Yeah.
The last time you spoke to them about what they could do was 3 years ago, because you have a direct example of this. You talk about, we have the opportunity to talk to gym owners. You've talked to people that are in gyms.
I have athletes and clients everywhere. Yeah.
I go to this gym and it's great. Like that, what we do is great, but I just need something more. Like mm-hmm. I want to do something more. And it's like, dude, we need to get your gym owner on the phone because he's going to lose a member that will happily pay him more money. He just doesn't have the opportunity to pay it.
This was a piece, and I want to, we got to get going here soon, John, right? So what I want to get to is this, the couple I talked to about this, it was another interesting take on this is that oftentimes people aren't leaving to go pay less money. And that's going to break your fucking heart as a gym owner. They're leaving to go somewhere that has more money or some shit that you never even thought that you could do or that you never even thought about them wanting. Mm-hmm. Right. And that doesn't mean you got to check all those boxes for that. But what you got to be able to do is give them something. You got to give them something. And they're just, that's the thing is these people, they stay in the same place and they only want change. That's it. They only want change. They've only got a membership. The only thing they can do with it is cancel. That's it. So they sit here and they go, okay, I keep paying this. Well, how long? Just forever? Okay. Okay. And then all they do is sit. The only thing that sits in their head with this membership is, how long am I doing this? I do this for this. And it's all they do is start counting down the days. And every reason you give them that's a success is not a thing where it's like, oh, I'm staying here forever. No, that stuff just goes out by the wall, out just was water under the bridge because the whole value proposition still is catch-all fitness. But you offer them one thing that allows them to focus, to move forward, to reinvest, and it can really change the game. Otherwise, all they're going to do is sit there and look elsewhere. It's the grass is always greener on the other side thing. We don't have any other side. So the other side is not your business.
It's someone else's yard.
It's someone else's business. And I really mean it. People will leave your gym to spend twice as much money just because it's not the same old bullshit they've been doing. And so you got to always be shaking your stuff up. Always be trying something new. If you're doing the same thing for 3, 4, 5 years and you haven't offered new products, you haven't tried to, like, you're only on a path to failure. Just like your clients are who are just in a fitness holding pattern. They're only on a path that is direct collision course with failure.
Well, Tyler, gym owners are busy.
Yes.
How in the hell are they? It's not, they've been doing the same thing for 3 years because they don't have, there's no network of gym owners, right? There's no area where like the hotline of calling, like the movie phone of like giving somebody a call and being like, oh, this is what's happening today. This is the stuff I should try. That doesn't exist. Or does it?
It does. Guys, you can follow it by going to what's the community? You updated the link so we can actually say them out loud. Yeah. Other than that, yeah, they're in the description. We've got a community. John, take them away.
Community.hackyourgym.com.
Smooth. Yeah. Go to community.hackyourgym.com. There we've got a whole group of people. We drop some of these video episodes there. So if you're listening, you can watch there. You can get in on the conversation. We'll start seeing as people start going through Gym Hacking University, which you can get at hackyourgym.com. People start going through Gym Hacking University. You're going to be able to start seeing some of the successes and stories and progress and what that process is like for some of those people. So do not miss out on community.hackyourgym.com. Did I get that right the last time?
You got it.
Nailed it. Awesome. Guys, follow the Gym Owners Podcast on Instagram. Follow me at Tyler F. and Stone and John
at JBanksFL.
Awesome, guys. All right. Thanks a lot. We'll see you guys next week.